Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy on October 29th of 2020. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we are here to talk about some of the anime we've been watching and some other things, some of which airs on Toonami. Although the other things are not airing on Toonami because, well, I'd say Toonami only airs anime, but they have actually aired some non-anime stuff now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but I guess we'll just jump into it. Let's see. So we'll start. Do you want to do JoJo now or wait until the end?
That should probably wait till the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got Assassination Classroom episode 9. So in this episode, we get a transfer student, except it's actually a computer. which has these guns that it can use to shoot at Koro Sensei, but it's so completely disruptive that everyone doesn't like that some of the guys just actually try to tape the stuff shut. But Koro Sensei, who I guess is the most amazing programmer ever, is able to somehow add stuff to it so that it can, get more information and free will and they give it her the name Ritsu because, I mean, like, they even on the screen, they got that little image of her in the sort of school uniform thing, which is kind of cute. But anyway, so they're all like, okay, we'll work together to bring down Koro Sensei. And then the people who made the computer don't really like that, so they try to reprogram it, but she actually hid those parts of it and it's still around and stuff. Actually reminded me a little of that thing at the... Remember in the first episode of this season of Ghost in the Shell where the Tachikoma goes, "Hello, I am a Tachikoma." And one of them goes, "Just kidding!" So yeah, not too much. So this episode mostly just involved introducing her as a new character. So not really much to say plot wise.
Yeah. So she is kind of just a data entity, which makes me think she must hang out with Yuki Nagato in her spare time. It wasn't a bad episode at all. I liked the fact that we got away from Mach 20 for at least a little while, because the Mach 20 jokes have been getting a little stale. So, pretty good episode.
Yeah. I actually liked Ritsu. She was kind of fun. Although you mentioned Yuki, that was just like I can't even remember the last time I even thought about her. Haruhi has just faded from memory so much.
It's all because of Endless Eight. Endless Eight literally killed the fandom. Like everyone, it was. So there was so much hype for that second season, and whenever they pulled the Endless Eight prank on us, what happened was that so many fans just stopped being fans, and to this date, there was only one panel at an anime con that I ever saw that talked about Haruhi, except for one I did myself, that is. But it was amazing because whenever, before that came out, you would go to a con and everyone would be, you know, dancing to the ending song and everything. And man, that Endless Eight just killed it just like that. And, They had a few more episodes at the end of the season, which weren't bad, but most people had stopped watching already because they didn't feel like seeing the same episode 8 times in a row. So yeah, that's kind of sad because it was one of my favorite anime, and now no one wants to talk about it.
I mean, to be fair, there's a lot of anime and stuff that can be popular and then just kind of fades away. Like, you don't really see much of Hitalia anymore either.
Yeah.
But it seemed more of a gradual thing. Haruhi was pretty, it did seem pretty sudden, the decline.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, only thing I would say I have a problem with this is, so we have literally created AI, like actual AI. Can this be mass? And this wasn't like some super amazing, like you needed all this stuff to do it. This is something that presumably you could make more of. This brings up so many questions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. But I think it's mostly used for jokes and stuff, and well, plot also, but yeah, still did that. I guess that was my only real criticism, that you introduce this thing and then it's just like, well, but this seems like it would have such a big ramifications for the world.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll move on to Black Clover then, episode 136. To be honest, I can barely remember what even happened in this episode. They went to the underwater temple to help out against something, and honestly, that's what I remember from this episode. It's weird. Normally, I'm so good at remembering, but it's almost a blank.
Wait a minute. I didn't think there even was an episode this week.
Yeah, there was an episode of Black Clover. We watched it, remember?
I don't remember watching an episode of Black Clover.
The live blog thing we did already purged itself.
Yeah. I thought that they had taken out Black Clover.
No, that was a week before this week, because they had that like election, like that voting thing.
Oh, okay.
And then they did have Black Clover this time. Yeah, I know we watched it because I can't remember what we said, but I know we did it because I like said, okay, so you want to watch Fire Force, and I think you said like, nah. So that was fine, but no, I remember we watched this. I think, am I going crazy? I know I watched it because I vaguely remember it.
Let's look it up.
I know it aired. I'm just trying to make sure. Did we both watch it? Or
yeah, that's the thing. Maybe I didn't watch it.
That's what I'm trying to remember. Well, I'm just maybe the fact that we have to try to figure out if you watched it is kind of a sign of it not being very memorable.
Yeah, I'm looking here. I'm trying to figure out. Okay, so what episode number was it?
It was 136.
What episode would it be in season 3?
In season 3, I don't know that one. Its name, if you're looking by name, its name is a Black Deep Sea Story.
Yeah, it's in my library, all right. I just don't remember it. I just don't remember watching it. That's not a good sign for the show.
I thought that I couldn't remember much. You didn't even remember watching it.
I don't know what happened. I thought for sure I was. I wouldn't have gone to sleep before watching it. Just must have been that boring.
Okay, so. Can you? Yeah. So, I guess there's not much else to say about that one, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
So we can jump over to Tales of the Abyss episode 24. We're only doing one episode this week, and we'll be doing one episode for the next two episodes also. So,
Hold on a second. Is Toonami still on this week?
No, it's a Promised Neverland marathon.
Okay, so maybe we should just do both episodes, final two episodes this week to make up for no Toonami. You know, that way we have more to talk about.
Okay, yeah, we could do that, or maybe something else. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So anyway, in this episode, well, they prepare for the final battle, and that's basically it.
Yeah, there was some stuff about bringing back Ion and making like another replica of him, I guess, which is like brings up a lot of questions, like how does he remember things, and I don't know, like. That part was really weird to me. And we still haven't seen Tyr transform into that woman you see in the opening theme song, which makes me wonder what even is that? Because she did sing in this episode, but she didn't transform. So I still can't figure that out. And obviously, we still like know hardly. We actually got like the most character development of Anis in this episode than we had almost the entire season. Mm-hmm. Because, see, you know, we had that scene with her and where she's talking about marrying into a rich family and all that. So that was nice that she got some character development, but honestly, it's like that's been missing for such a long time. So, yeah, not much more to say about it.
Yeah, I did have two quick comments. One, it's always Natalia when she says Ash's name, she always goes Ashu, which again sounds like Achu to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always Natalia who says it that way also. The other characters might, but they don't. I just haven't noticed it if they do it. The other thing is when a character, I can't remember who, I just wrote down the quote, he just says, see, you can. He said something like, I wrote something down, but I think I mangled the quote. He said something, see to any matters you must attend to. And I was thinking, so was that given in the game? And if it was it just a statement of, okay, this is your last chance to do all the side quests?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. After that, we have episode 33 of Ghost in the Shell. I think this, either this or I think the next one was the last episode that during that original thing where we were kind of watching it, but then kind of fell off due to the problems of them not putting the episodes up. Right. I think this or the next one might have been the last one I saw. So we're going to be getting to new stuff soon. So basically, they end up. Heroes end up helping transport some plutonium to try to, keep it secure from terrorists, and they also are kind of joined by that Goda dude again. But then it turns out that that there wasn't any actual plutonium, and they were just being used as a it was being transported elsewhere, and they were just being used as a decoy, which makes them all kind of annoyed about the fact they did that without being told that. That was the episode, basically.
Yeah. Is this one of the standalone or one of the, what do they call the other ones?
I think in the first season, they were called standalone episodes and complex episodes. In this one, I can't remember what they're called. I know one of the designations was dual episode, but I can't remember how that one worked. I mean, this one involved Goda, who's clearly in like some kind, who's going to be a recurring character of some sort, obviously. So I'm going to assume it kind of relates more to the overall thing, at least to some extent.
Yeah. I got to be honest, this episode was kind of boring. So
it was kind of boring because there wasn't even much of like outside of Goda kind of annoying them. There really, and a sort of brief fight, there wasn't really much of a conflict in the episode. Yeah. It was just we're transporting them. And to be fair, it was like the characters were annoyed about it also, because they were the ones who had to go through all that just to be the decoy.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the fact that even this sort of, the way this, it does, it's been a long time since I've seen season one, but I seem to remember that was much more, like you would have the standalone episodes. They would just be their own standalone thing. I feel that all the episodes of this season have, to varying degrees, even the more standalone ones, kind of contributed to the overall plot. They all like feel like they at least like tie into, you know, the refugee stuff they're focusing on, or the fact that they've kind, especially shown in this episode, that they've been increasingly just kind of being used by the government to kind of just do like more minor things. I guess that episode where they got into the safe was pretty standalone, but I do feel like this season has had a greater emphasis on relating episodes to each other. Mm-hmm. See, like the overall thing, so that it feels like they aren't just an episode that you could have put in anywhere, the sort of more standalone ones.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that, this was a kind of, this wasn't really that great of an episode, otherwise.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So we got Yashihime episode, 4.
Okay. So, basically, Kikyo appears, even though it's not actually Kikyo, it's like the root head demon or whatever it's called. And
I thought that the Kikyo was like it was something other than the root head demon. It was like the spirit of the tree or whatever.
That's what I meant. Yeah. I got that confused.
I think it's just an excuse so they don't have to come up with a new character design.
Well, like they bring back Kikyo just for this purpose, and basically a big info dump. That's what it felt like. It was like, okay, so we're learning all this stuff, but the funny thing about it is that we don't learn the stuff that all the fans want to know. So it's kind of like we're gonna give you. You know, we're going to give you all this info about the girls, but we're not going to tell you any of those burning questions that are being asked several times a day on the official Facebook page. So, so I felt this was kind of a waste of an episode. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing these girls do stuff together, but it's like I need to have an idea of what the hell is going on with their parents. And if we don't know that, then it's kind of like just starting a new show, which I don't like. Like, I don't like the idea of okay, these are people related to the Inuyasha crew, but we're just doing our own show now. Like I want to have their parents involved in it somehow. So we'll see how that goes. I'm not the only one asking these questions, obviously. So many people are asking questions on their Facebook. So, so not the best episode, although I still did enjoy it. So there's that. What do you think?
Well, I have started to really like Moraha. She's probably the most entertaining. She's definitely the most entertaining of the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way she's super energetic. And I just, I don't know what's... I'm trying to think of what character she reminds me of. Because I know she reminds me of some, but I'm just having trouble remembering ones that are quite like that. But I don't know. I just find her kind of funny and endearing. The other thing is, because I'm looking at a synopsis of the episode to refresh my memory, and I realize, oh, wait, that was supposed to be, that was an old, the person who was suspended in that thing at the end is supposed to be an older Rin. I thought it was Kagome.
Yeah, that's the thing that everyone has gotten about that being Rin, and now it's like, okay, so does that mean that Rin is the mother or what? That's what the whole argument is going down over that. So
I was just, when I like I said, I thought that was just an, I thought that was Kagome. I mean, she looked different, but I just assumed, oh, you know, time has passed, she looks a bit different. And I was thinking that, oh, so that's why we haven't seen Kagome. She's there, except it wasn't. So now I just feel really dumb for not realizing that. Okay. So, yeah, we get some stuff that's a little confusing. Yeah, I don't have too much else to say about that, unfortunately. It really is. We just kind of want to know what happened with the other characters because they haven't been showing up. And I'm kind of okay with them having a small role. I mean, I'm like, you want the focus to be on the newer characters. You don't want to have the older ones like kind of overshadow that. Like a complaint I've seen sort of about Boruto is that it features the old cast too much.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
Although on the other hand, I think the old cast might be more interested in than the main characters of Boruto. So, so it's kind of a juggling act when you try to do something like that. You don't want to use them too much. You don't want to use them too little. But at the current point, I think we are in the too little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then we can do, we can do Attack on Titan. Normally I kind of leave that towards the end, but we're doing JoJo there after that. So unfortunately going to be some spoilers here if you've been bowing out before we get to Attack on Titan. But especially this episode. So basically this episode is, so let's see. Okay. So they do have, so they've managed to capture both Bertholdt and Reiner, or Reina, I think is how, well, so how everyone says his name. Reina. So I guess that's the pronunciation. A lot of the name, I mean, the names do seem like they're supposed to be pronounced like in a German fashion. That's why it's Erwin rather than Erwin. But once again, like I said, he's the plot armor titan. So so he manages to get rescued. Bertholdt, not so much. So Armin, it turns out, is actually still barely alive. So they're going to inject him with the turning to a Titan serum thing so he can eat Bertholdt and then, you know, gain the power of the colossal Titan. But then one of the only soldier who managed to survive that suicidal charge at the Beast Titan shows up and dragging Erwin along. It was like, he's alive. So that Levi says, okay, we should do him instead of Armin, which provokes a big argument, which is honestly most of the episode.
Yeah.
So in regard... Levi is, I might have said Aaron earlier when I meant to say Levi, if that's the case, sorry. Is like saying, no, it's going to be Erwin, you guys go away and I'll, do it. But then he, changes his mind and does Armin. Because, apparently because Erwin, in some sort of delusion thing, you might not have recognized it. There's a part where he just kind of brings up his hand and like says, excuse me, how do we know there aren't humans outside the walls? That was him just remembering this thing where he did that in a class when he was younger. So Armin's, so Bertholdt's dead. Armin's is alive and gains the power of the colossal Titan. We also got a few, bits with that Beast Titan guy talking to Aaron. And that was basically the episode. Next episode is ominously named The Basement.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you how much I actually enjoyed this episode. So, which, you know, as usual, I'm always making fun of these episodes. But this time I was like, you know, this is pretty entertaining, you know, the whole... argument over who they're going to save. Now, do I actually think that only one of them can be saved? No, I'm pretty sure the way these things work, we'll find some way to save Erwin anyway. But I enjoyed the whole conflict and all the arguing and people getting mad and Mikasa losing her mind once again. Because she's so useless as a character. All she's there for is to get mad anytime anything bad happens to Armin or to Eren.
Well, I thought this was showing a new side of Mikasa because she's getting angry and upset about someone who's not Eren.
Yeah. That's all she does, though. She doesn't do anything else. Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. And how many episodes are left in this season?
Four.
Okay.
Oh, one thing to remember. Next episode, there is a post-credits sequence, so be sure to watch it. It's back when Toonami aired the episode originally, they left out the post-credits sequence.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't their fault. Apparently, they were just given it without that. But people, like, you know, were upset. So at the next episode, they, like, actually started. This thing was supposed to air last episode. Here it is. And then they showed the actual episode. So check that out when we watch it. So this episode, yeah, I did enjoy it. Although, it is one of those things where I look at what it happens. I'm like, this is well done. This is well executed. You might not have noticed this, but there is almost no music in this entire episode.
Yeah.
That worked very well. The fact it just isn't there through almost all of it. But it does have an issue when I look back. I was just thinking, well, we did all this, but then Armin just comes back anyway. So it kind of made it feel, looking back afterwards, sort of like, well, did we really need to spend an episode on this? So, like, it's basically it's a very well executed thing that didn't necessarily have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, then we can move back to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And if you didn't want to hear anything about Attack on Titan, you can start listening again. But we've got the final episode, episode 39. So almost all this episode is continuing with the flashback we had. And I thought that the thing turned Bucciarati into a statue. No, it was actually a separate thing that was foretelling his death. And the thing is basically Mista trying to prevent it and appearing to manage to do it. But then, like, the guy who made it, who turns out isn't really a bad guy, it just automatically predicts deaths of people. He, like, says, well, maybe, but this might, it's possible that this is just something that will happen later anyway, which it does. And you actually quite briefly, I think in the manga, it was easier to catch this in the anime. You actually see the head, you see when it kind of, before it dissolves, you see the faces of Bucciarati, Narancia, and that guy with the fast forward rewind stand. I can't remember his name. So that, I guess, is why you had to have this at the end. You couldn't have it earlier, but, so after that, we just get this post, like, everything's okay, and then, I guess Mista and Trish apparently got together, maybe?
Yeah, they just suddenly forced a romance on us right there at the very end. It was like, I didn't see any signs that these two liked each other through the entire season. And then all of a sudden, that comes up right at the very, very end.
And speaking of very, very end, after the post-credits sequence, we just get a scene of Giorno meeting with some guys. I think it's supposed to establish, oh, he's become like the new leader of the whole Familia thing. And I was just thinking, okay, that's not a bad ending, but that's all you do to establish it? Because remember, the whole reason he was trying to do this was because he wanted to make it so that, you know, he would run it so that he wouldn't, you know, they'd be the mafia and stuff, but they wouldn't be doing, like, the really bad stuff like drugs and such. We could have at least seen him taking some of those measures or something. That would have been useful, but it's just a very weird ending. We devote all this time to this other stuff, and then it was just like, well, we're done. He's the leader now. Bye.
Yeah, that was really weird, and just not a satisfying ending to the season, although I don't know what could have been satisfying. I still have no idea what Giorno has to do with JoJo, like how he's related to them.
He was when Dio grafted his head onto Jonathan's body and his bad body, and then at some point later on he did it with some woman with that body, and then she gave birth to Giorno.
I see. Okay. What about part six? Is that in the making?
I do not think they have announced a part six yet, but I mean it took them a while to announce a part five. Let me see if I can find. I'll just check to see. Yeah, there has not been anything announced. They probably will have a. They probably will have one, but it is not. It has not been confirmed or anything.
Uh huh. Yeah. Part six is the one with the girl, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Then. That one has a lot more female characters than previous ones, including, you know, the main character being female. Although I heard that part seven goes straight back to being a sausage fest. part eight, I think they again. Part eight, from what I understand of it, because I haven't paid too much attention. I believe it has two. The JoJo character is a guy again, but the second most important character is a girl. So, yeah. So at least that part becomes, I guess, you know, having a few more on in terms of the females. But yeah, it took JoJo 5 parts to actually have a female character be important, even remotely, in the combat.
Yeah, so we'll see about that. Overall thoughts on the arc. Part 5 was better than part 4, I'll give it that. It wasn't better than part 3, that's for sure. Probably better than part 1, but probably not as good as part 2. So I would put it right in the middle.
This is an impromptu question, I suppose, but how would you necessarily rank them? For me, it would be part 3 is the best, followed by part 2. Then I think this would be part 5. It's kind of hard for me to decide. And then it would be... I'm not really sure where I would put 4 and 1. I think I'd probably put... It's a hard 1 because the highs of 4 were better than the highs of part 1. But part 1, I was never quite as bored with as I was at some parts in part 4.
Yeah, mine's pretty much the same, except that part 4 is certainly the worst. Like, there's no competition with that one. It's definitely the worst one. But everything else for me is the same. So, I think this was a very good JoJo for all its faults. You know, it had a lot of faults, but ultimately... it succeeded, and it got me back interested in JoJo, and that's something. So, I'm happy about it, and not so happy that it's off the air now. We have to figure out what is going to be our new Toonami schedule, and honestly, I forget what they plan on doing. So... you're going to have to help me with that one.
Dave, I'll double check, but I think we're going to be continuing with Assassination Classroom. Black Clover is going away at least for a while. We don't know if it'll be back. There's obviously problems with it just being like with the dub getting behind, so they have to put it on away for at least a while. So the next, let me just double check what the schedule, I think I might have mentioned it. Well, from what I remember, we're having, I know it's Dragon Ball, then I think it's Sword Art Online, then Fire Force, then Assassination Classroom, or maybe I flipped Assassination Classroom and Sword Art Online in my head. I can't remember which one, but I would think they would put Sword Art Online earlier. Then they got that Gemu Seto thing, and then I think some reruns. So we'll definitely be checking out Sword Art Online and Assassination Classroom. This is actually going to be the premiere of Season 2 of Fire Force, so we'll at least check that out for a little bit, especially because it's between two shows we'll be watching. And then we'll, like, decide whether we want to stick with it or not.
Yeah, that makes sense. Assassination Classroom has a second season. That's kind of hard to believe because I don't know how long they're going to milk the Mach 20 joke. I just don't know how they're going to keep on doing it. So we'll see. But, that's all I got.
Okay. So, I guess we can give our top 3 stuff.
Yeah, if I didn't have such a bad headache, I would have figured this out by now. Hurts to think. Number three for the week, I'm going to go with JoJo. Number two for the week will be Yasuhime. And number one, for the first time in a while, a long while, is Attack on Titan. So I don't even know if it's ever been number one.
I don't.
But it is. I mean, it is this time.
I don't. Since we started doing the top threes, it was. I don't think it was. There might have been a spot. Last week I think you liked it, but I think you put it in second. The only time before this that I think you would have probably done that was way back in season two, and I can't even remember. I know that was before this podcast. It might have been even before that earlier podcast we did before this one.
Yeah, you're right, because I was blogging. I remember blogging that episode, or season two. So if I was still blogging, I probably wasn't. I may not have. Well, no, that's not true. But yeah, like I quit blogging sometime around the time we started this second podcast.
I can vaguely remember us discussing it. But that would have been before this one, because there's that earlier one we did, but that ended up kind of going, getting lost. So we started this one. But that would have been so long ago. Back then we weren't even doing any top three stuff.
Sorry, I just wanted to say I have found a lot of our old podcasts. Let me see if I can look very quickly here, see if I can find how many I've been able to find. Let's see.
Well,
okay. I found 52 of them, 52 of our original ones.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, yeah. Honestly, most of them were us kind of learning some of this stuff. I think the main one that was worth listening was that super long Bleach podcast we did, where you told me afterwards that you had gotten really thirsty, so that's why you weren't talking towards the end.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
We're talking about things that the listeners can't listen to right now, but anyway. I should give my top threes in those. So we've got, so for me, third place would be Yasuhime. Then second place would be Assassination Classroom. And then first, yep, I'll go with Attack on Titan. I think this might be the first time you put JoJo above where I did.
Yeah. Yeah, so not much more really to say. We finished on time, so you can talk about anything else you want to, because we made good time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're done with the anime stuff. So you can find the previous episodes at JanamiTheraD.podbean.com. Now I guess we can talk about The Amazing Race again.
Yep. Yeah. So they flip-flopped that in Big Brother, which to you was not good, but to us was good. So, we were able to get Amazing Race over with before Nicole lost on Big Brother. Mm-hmm. And so basically...
Oh, have you been watching Big Brother? Or
no, I just know that everyone wanted Nicole to lose.
Okay.
And she lost. So okay. They got their wish. So basically they one of the things that people have a problem with is that seems like everyone's getting on the same flight, so there's really no advantage to the teams who leave first. Mm-hmm. Then they have to gather a whole bunch of objects that are Spanish names, so they have to figure out what these items are. And
actually, it's Portuguese.
Portuguese, yeah. Where were they at? What country?
They were in Brazil. I can understand you that getting confused, because it seems the teams got confused, because you have people going like, gracias, gracias. That's Spanish, not Portuguese. Brazil is like the one country in South America where Portuguese is the primary language.
Yeah. I know that Portuguese is the language of Brazil. I just didn't realize it was in Brazil, because they were all speaking Spanish.
Yeah, the teams, I guess, just didn't know. Like, that's the part where I was just, when one person, like, announces, like, gracias mucho. And I'm like, okay, first, that's Spanish. You should be taking Portuguese. Some of them, like, said, like, the actual word for thank you in Portuguese was something like obrigada or something like obrigada, something like that. And I was thinking, so that's wrong. Second, it's muchas gracias, not gracias mucho. That's like one of the most basic known Spanish expressions in the English world.
So so they all have to get those those objects, and then like, I don't know if they do this on purpose, but they put it in the clue that you need those items that you had. And of course, no one reads the clue. Even after the last episode, hardly anyone read the clue. So they just dropped their stuff and gone on the boat. It's like, oh, we were supposed to bring that.
It's about the worst instance I've ever seen of what, like I said, RTFC read the freaking clue that I've ever seen on the show. There's been times where people goofed up by not reading it. I don't think I haven't seen all the seasons, but in the seasons I've seen, I've never seen a team, this many teams, mess it up.
Yeah, it's just crazy how much that's happening, and like, to the point that I feel like they're almost doing it on purpose. That's how bad it is. And not that the show is bad, but I like how bad they're screwing up. And basically then Rick and James, they decide that they're going to U-turn Alana and Leo. And then because they kind of don't like them. So then the two blonde girls are thankful to Leo and Alana for helping them out, so they U-turn the father-son team, and they were already so far behind. They ended up getting eliminated, and yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, there were a bunch of other It's just amazing. So many people messed it up, and it was like a 20-30 minute boat ride that you had to the next place. So if you realize you messed it up, you had to spend like an hour going back and then coming back, and then yeah. There's also, not only was this the most case of like read the freaking clue, it's also I also have not seen anywhere near as much blurring as I have in the Amazing Race as this episode, because they were with this sort of tribe, and it seems that tribe does not have anyone wear shirts, including the women. So there's a lot of blurring going on in that episode.
Yeah. Survivor has a lot of blurring. How about the time whenever they forgot the blur something and made it on the air? It was so funny. And they ban people on Survivor now from going naked. That's now that's no longer allowed anymore.
Okay, that's interesting. Speaking of missing things, I don't know if you saw it, but there is a brief bit where you actually saw the camera people.
Yep, yeah, I saw that.
You saw that also. Yeah, this was I don't think I've seen that before, or I haven't noticed it before. So there were so many. It seemed almost first in this episode. People, like, so many people missed a clue. I was able to actually catch the camera people on it. And I guess the editors must have just, they had to put it in because they did not have a better shot at that point. Yeah. And lastly, so much of the blurring of the tribal people.
Oh, and how about the Asian girls just, like, passed up the clue that was in the face? They just ran off and was like, wait a minute, where could it possibly be? It couldn't possibly be in the vase next to the whatever that sign's called.
the U-turn.
They lost a position as a result.
Yeah, I haven't seen... Yeah, I don't think I've seen that either. I've seen cases where teams forgot their passports and had to go back for them. I think there was at least I saw a team. They were eliminated because they lost their passport. They could not find it again. So they could not go on in the race. Or maybe they just spent so much time finding it they got in last place. I can't remember which one of those were. My memory is not the greatest. I need to correct something I said last episode where I said about how that there's that season where Rob like asked the team, like, you know, oh, did you get on the earlier flight when he was trying to psych them out? And then they ended up finding an earlier flight as a result that he didn't. Uh-huh. That I said that was at the end of the season. I was wrong. That did happen, but it happened earlier in the season.
Okay.
That was when I was saying, because you mentioned that people like thought that Rob and Amber were kind of like robbed in not winning that season. So what happened there was they had managed to get on a flight, and the second place team was trying to get on it also, and the plane was like about to pull away or something. I think it might have actually started. I'm just going by this bike because I was looking at an old recap of the episode. And then the pilot is called and told, no, wait, there's more people coming in. And then the next team manages to get in. And some people were like wondering, did CBS do something there?
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
Apparently, like, I did read about, apparently, like, Robin Amherst said, like, no, that wasn't, the contestant said that wasn't the case. You didn't see the part where the other team, Yu Chen and Joyce, he was like running around the whole thing frantically trying to contact people and get them on the plane. So it was because of that which we weren't seeing in the episode itself. So that's why. But there were a number of points in that episode when I was looking back on it where Yu Chen and Joyce just managed to get lucky and keep them in the race.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that. Reading the recap also reminded me of how in the early seasons they had the idea for the non-elimination leg, the team that would continue would not receive money for the next part of the race. So to be able to get taxi rides, they had to go around and beg people for money. I remember it being kind of awkward to watch, and I honestly wonder if there might have been some legal problems with it.
Yeah.
But they eventually eliminated that. They tried some different things, and I think eventually they just settled on what they have now, the speed bump, where it's just an extra task you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my correction on that. This episode did not have any super catchy classical song, though. And but it did have, it's there's the opening of this episode had the most blatant product placement for Travelocity The Amazing Race has ever done, and that I've ever seen on it. And oh boy, is that saying something, considering they have legs where people just have to carry the Travelocity gnome with them. It's just saying, all right, you can make your airplane reservations using the Travelocity app. Teams are going, wow, this app is really fast.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
I mean, you got to keep the sponsors happy. I get that. But it's the most blatant product placement I've seen on The Amazing Race, which is saying something again, because they stamp Travelocity everywhere.
Well, have you ever seen the ones for Survivor? So, man, those were the worst. One time, the reward was that the players got to view the movie Jack and Jill. Like, that was the reward. That was the reward. You guys get to see Jack and Jill.
That's considered one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah. And so, and what was funny is that there was one girl, her face the entire time watching the movie was just priceless, because she was like so annoyed with it because it was that bad of a movie. And yeah, then they had another time, they had Gulliver's Travels, and it was like a immunity challenge which like took the whole theme of Gulliver's Travels, which was like a movie that was put out, and they turned it into a challenge. So yeah, they've had some pretty bad ones on Survivor, that's for sure.
Yeah, but Gulliver's Travels, was that the 2010 movie? Or
yeah,
it looks like that one wasn't, I'm just glancing over it. Yeah, it didn't look like that one was very popular either.
No.
I'm just glancing over at like a synopsis, and I'm like, okay, wow, this seems a very loose adaptation of Gulliver's Travels. Does any adaptation of Gulliver's Travels actually do the full thing? Because the guy went on four trips in it. Have you ever read Gulliver's Travels?
Might have.
Well, so the first one is where he visits one of all the tiny people. The second one, he visits this place with giant people. The third one is kind of more weirdly varied. He kind of meets these guys who are like really technologically advanced. But that was like the most varied of it. There's just a bunch of stuff that happens there, like these guys who are able to like make their city fly around, and they use it to just, you know, take over places. There's this bit where there's these guys who are all trying to make inventions, because they're all like completely useless stuff. That was like, I don't know, hard to give a synopsis of that part because it was just a bunch of things. The last one, which no one ever seems to have, is this part where he visits this place where there are these intelligent horses, but also these guys called like the Yahoos, which look kind of like humans, except they're all like, they all act like, you know, apes and stuff. And they end up kind of banishing him because they think he's too much like that. So he becomes super like depressed about and thinks like humanity is bad and stuff, and just spends the rest of his time trying to talk to horses. It was a weird sort of thing. So So yeah, I just, wow, Jack and Jill. Dude, like, that's the reward.
Yeah, that seriously was the reward. It was.
Do you remember, I have to ask, do you remember what they, like, said about it? Or, like,
the no, they just, they just showed scenes of like the people watching the movie. They didn't say like whether it was good or not.
Did they actually show anyone ever laugh?
Yeah, they did, but the people they showed laugh were people who got a negative edit. So it was kind of on purpose to make them look stupid. Okay? Like Coach. If you ever heard of Coach, he was just like, he's like not even human. He's so weird. And yeah.
Never attribute to malice what can be described with greed. I think they just did that because they were trying to convince people, look, people are laughing. See the movie. Rather than necessarily them actually trying to do the edit on someone, or maybe the people, you know, in charge of it were saying, okay, you got to get some people laughing at this movie. It's our sponsor. We got to make it look good. And then but the editors also like thought, who by the time they were editing it, I assume the movie had been released and people the movie might have been released and they would have known, and they would have just been like, you know what? People don't like it. Let's just make the bad people show laugh at it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah. Okay. So that's was our discussion on The Amazing Race and Survivor and some other things like Jack and that's wow.
We never thought Jack and Jill would have made it into our podcast, but it did.
So, I guess that's that. nothing else really to say, I don't think so. We'll see you next week.
Bye-nee.